A suicidal rape victim has reportedly been denied an abortion in the Republic. She's been forced to have a baby that she did not want to have. The full facts of the case have still to be established, but they have reignited the debate about abortion laws south of the border. This has also pinpointed one of the big questions in the debate about abortion. Should it be allowed in cases of rape or when the expectant mother is suicidal? Goretti Horgan from Alliance for Choice is with us today. Goretti, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. And David Quinn, the director of the Iona Institute. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. So Goretti, obviously this case, it's well up there on the news agenda today, and it's brought the whole issue of abortion and forcing a woman to have a baby into the spotlight again.
Well, absolutely. And of course, we in the North can't be, you know, kind of laid back about this, because there's no guarantee that a woman who sought a legal abortion here in the North wouldn't have the same thing happen to them, i.e. this young woman asked for an abortion at 8 weeks. And was delayed and delayed and delayed as doctors discussed whether or not she had a right to control over her own body and not to have to carry the child of a rapist. And she ends up, you know, at 22 weeks being told, well, it's too late. And, I mean, there was no doubt. The panel of doctors, as I understand, psychiatrists, actually agreed that she did have suicidal intent. She actually showed it, because she went not just on hunger strike, but hunger and thirst strike, and had to be, you know, there had to be a court order to have her forcibly rehydrated. So there's a really, I mean, it just shows the extent to which on this island, really, because it's north as well as south, that women don't actually have basic rights of control over their own bodies.
And David Quinn, the health staff have been accused of refusing to end her pregnancy until the baby was viable and could be delivered by caesarean section. Is that morally fair?
Well, you see, like, the health service and the doctors and the nurses were dealing with two lives, not just one. And both lives have, in fact, been saved. So the woman has been saved, and the baby has
against her mother's will.
Sorry?
Against her mother's will.
Well, do you see, I mean, the question is, what regards do we have for the second life, that is the baby? I mean, you know, what rights has it got here? I mean, whenever a pregnant woman presents herself, the doctor has to take account of the fact that he is dealing with the welfare of two patients. And to set out to deliberately kill one of those patients is obviously the very worst kind of patient care. Now, I have a problem, by the way, with the fact that...
But it was reported that this pregnancy was the result of rape, as you've heard.
Well, we have... There are reports that that is the case.
Okay,
Irish Times of the woman at the centre of it says she was raped, but that has yet to be established, so we can't...
Well, we can deal with a what-if situation. So if there is an individual, because we don't need to specifically talk about this case, we know that there are what-ifs around it. If there is someone that has reportedly been raped, as a result they are suicidal, as a result of that rape, they're suicidal, they really do not want to have a baby, you think they should be forced to have that child against their will?
Well, I mean, there's a really loaded language being used there.
Well, it's a question.
The way I prefer to put it is that the doctors and the nurses have a duty of care to both patients. We now have a living baby, and the mother has also been properly treated, and has been properly treated all along. I mean, in fact, you know, there's a problem here in that the baby was delivered when barely viable, and at risk of being severely handicapped, therefore, because the baby was delivered at around 6 months into its term, therefore 3 months short. A truly pro-life culture would have looked after the mother until longer into her pregnancy, so as to ensure that the baby was going to be a healthy baby when delivered.
You see, here we have it now, Stephen. Really, what David Quinn is saying is that the woman should have been kept in hospital, basically under lock and key, for, you know, the full 9 months.
Well, he's saying the life of a child. He's saying the life of another human being, Goretti, should be protected.
She was 8 weeks pregnant when she asked for the abortion, right? At 8 weeks, that, you know, a tiny, tiny embryo basically could pass and look like a late period at 8 weeks. The idea...
You're humanising the baby there, Goretti.
Sorry?
You're dehumanising the baby.
I'm not dehumanising.
That's how we all started.
It's not a baby at 8 weeks.
And I started.
It's not a baby at 8 weeks.
Completely.
It's an embryo. It's an embryo.
By describing it as little different than a period.
Hold on.
Let's not shout over each other. Okay. Grelli first, then David, you can come back. Go ahead, Grelli.
A woman who's listening to this programme who lost even a most wanted pregnancy at 8 weeks will tell you that it's like having a heavy period. I'm sorry for going into those kinds of details among you men, but that's the truth of the matter. Because at 8 weeks, you have, it's not even a fetus, it's an embryo. That's the medical term for it. And at 8 weeks, the woman asked for an abortion. There was no baby there at that stage. Why do couples not tell their families that they're definitely pregnant until they're about 12 weeks pregnant? Because nature actually doesn't see it as a baby until, you know, the pregnancy is well established. And at 8 weeks, nobody would be telling everybody that they were pregnant because they know that there's a danger that they would just end up, you know, having a very early miscarriage. That's what the woman was looking for at 8 weeks. Not only was she denied that, but she was then basically kept, under surveillance and denied again and again and again as the pregnancy proceeded. The right to actually make a decision about her own body in a situation which she'd already been violated. She'd already been violated through rape.
Yeah, but hold on a second. So Clive texts us this morning, 0845955678. Some of you calling us already on this. We'll get you on air very shortly. Clive says the baby was not a rapist. The baby, thank goodness, will now grow up and have a life full of love with children and a family of its own. That's the important thing, says Clive this morning, Grelli.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, if every single pregnancy, you know, came to term, then women would just have to go back to the days when, you know, when we were tied to the kitchen, etc. I mean, do women have any rights here or not? That's really the question. Are we supposed to carry every pregnancy, by no matter who rapes us, or how traumatic it is, or how ill we are, or what the circumstances of our lives are, or do we actually have some rights over our own bodies, some right to control
okay.
over
David
our
Quinn.
Own body.
Yeah, Stephen, I mean, Goretti is there comparing miscarriages and early-term abortions to periods. I mean, you know, when a woman has a miscarriage, she generally mourns that fact because she knows she has lost a baby. The reason, of course, that most women don't tell their families until they're a number of weeks into the pregnancy is, as you say, out of fear that they may lose the baby. But they know they have lost the baby. They know that a miscarriage is not like a period. And an abortion is not like having a period.
Well,
so you're completely and utterly trivialising what's happening there. And it's actually quite shocking to hear you trivialise it to that extent.
I'm really amazed that David Quinn knows about how women think.
Hold on, Grelli, hold on.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily complex, but you are absolutely trivialising miscarriage and you're absolutely trivialising early-term abortions by comparing them to periods.
No, I'm not. I really am not.
That's exactly what you've done.
What I said was that any woman who's had an early-term miscarriage, no matter how much wanted the pregnancy was, knows what the physical, you know, physically what it means, that physically what comes out of your body looks like a heavy period.
Yes, that but is, she knows. Just, she knows she's lost a baby. And when a woman miscarries,
I
lost my baby.
It depends on how much. Very many women. I'm sorry, but very many women who don't want to be pregnant and maybe, you know, not quite sure whether they are going to go ahead with the pregnancy or not, may actually welcome such an early miscarriage. Of course, if somebody is very happy to be pregnant and was trying to get pregnant, then of course it's a disaster for them. But frankly, it's also a disaster for them when they get their period normally and when they suddenly realise that they didn't get pregnant that month. It can be
the right to life of the baby is a distinct thing.
And it's not. Will you please stop talking about babies when we're talking about embryos?
But you see, you know what? I mean, like embryo and fetus. Fetus, I think, simply is Latin for little one. All right. I mean, I've heard people use the term
medical terms, actually,
which is, you know, just Latin for newborn. So we can use Latin phrases or we can use colloquial phrases. But at the end of the day, as I say, fetus simply means, or is it embryo means little one. So how about we use...
So you think life starts at conception, David?
And how about we continue to use humanizing terms? I mean, I've actually heard people use terms like neonate for babies. They are actually, you know, for newborn babies. They are people who usually are beginning to articulate arguments for infanticide.
Oh, nonsense.
These sort of arguments have been made. I prefer to use humanizing terms than dehumanizing terms.
Stephen, this is ridiculous, right? I have never, ever, ever heard anybody on the pro-choice side advocating for killing newborn babies.
I will present you...
Neonate. May I continue, please?
Hold on. Go ahead, Grelly. Hold on, David. Go ahead, Grelly.
The only people who use the term neonate are doctors. And it's a medical term. Just like embryo is a medical term and fetus is a medical term.
And in everyday language, we don't use those terms, okay? We use humanizing terms, and for obvious reasons.
David, let me ask you this. You believe life starts at conception then, do you?
Well, there's no question it begins at conception. I mean, that's when we all began. We all began at the moment of conception.
And you have...
There was no point after conception at which, you know, at which you suddenly turned into a life. You become a separate human life from conception. There's no point on the continuum after conception at which you are not a human being and a human life.
And you have no reservations whatsoever of it forcing the victim of rape to have a child, to bear that child.
Do I have qualms? Well, indeed, I actually do have qualms because it is one of the hardest of hard cases. But at the end of the day, I think you are able to look after both human lives. I mean, this is the point. You can actually look after the welfare of both human beings in that kind of scenario. And you don't have to go to the drastic lengths of terminating one of the human lives. You know, you can actually preserve both lives.
Ruth texts me at the moment and says, Stephen, I'm listening to this feeding my newborn. In fact, we'll try to get Ruth on. Well, let me just read her text. We'll do that in a second. Maureen's in Hollywood, 08459 555678, if you want in on this. Go ahead, Maureen. Good morning, Maureen.
This morning. I'm a grandma now. I have two lovely grandsons. In my youth, I had two children, and they're wonderful. I've never had an abortion, but if I had been raped, which fortunately I wasn't, then I would want rid of that child. I know that from the word go. And women have to have autonomy over their own bodies. The term of having the idea of losing a baby at 8 weeks, it is like a heavy period. I know that from a couple of friends, but it's not a viable human life. And to keep a poor woman away from home, she's an immigrant, to keep her being pregnant until that child is able to be delivered, it's little short of barbaric.
Well, you say little short of barbaric.
Yeah.
David Quinn?
Well, I mean, like, what's barbaric is clearly killing the baby. You know, I mean, there's no question about that. What we now have is a live baby. I mean, again, delivered too early. Because
yes.
The baby...
Yeah, and therefore the poor wee soul...
And may have ended up, as many babies do, who are delivered early.
Yes, I know that. But, and so that's barbaric in its own right. I'm just disgusted. It's the 21st century now. For a long, long time... Women had to carry any child they had, if they could, and didn't have a miscarriage.
I mean, widespread abortion is unfortunately a mark of the 21st century. There's no question about
that. Well, yes, and abortion on demand for social reasons, yes, etc., I have a lot of qualms about. But in a case like this, where a young woman came to you in great, to people in great distress, It is little short of barbaric.
And the woman, woman is being looked after.
Well,
I mean, that's, and we have a live baby. So
you have a live baby who really is not viable. And
well, what do you mean not viable?
I mean that the baby, because it had to be delivered early, so early that its possibility of having developed properly is very much limited.
Okay.
Another month would have made a difference to that child. But it obviously...
Okay. Maureen, thank you. I want to bring Joyce in because we're just running out of time. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Joyce.
Well, actually, the reason that I texted Stephen was because when that lady said a miscarriage is really just...
Grady Horgan. Grady's on the line. You can speak to... Say good morning, Grady. You can speak to her directly.
Yes, Joyce.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, hello. What's your name?
Goretti. It's Goretti.
Goretti. Goretti. Go ahead,
Goretti.
Joyce.
Goretti. My name's Joyce Goretti. Uh-huh. And I actually felt quite angry when I heard you saying that a miscarriage in the early stage is just like a woman's heavy period. Well, I have had three miscarriages, and believe you me, what I suffered having them was excruciating. Not only that, you have the emotional and mental hurt after it that you've lost your baby.
I understand that, Joyce. I was talking merely about the physical bit. I was just talking about literally that if you're just... Remember, if 8 weeks, you're talking about being 4 weeks pregnant as far as the doctor, as far as you're concerned, 4 weeks after your period was late.
Yes, and here's another thing. Whenever Gabriel, the angel, came to Mary and said that you will be with child, he didn't say you will be with embryo.
Well, you see, I suppose there's a difference between a religious approach to it and a medical approach to it. And a medical approach is that up until about 10 weeks, it's called an embryo because that's just the stage of development. So that's just a medical term.
Well, another thing is, I went on then later to have a baby in the Royal Victoria Hospital, and she was born at 24 weeks at 1.8 ounces. She is now 24 years of age, and she just graduated there.
Congratulations.
As a graphic designer, and with first-class honours. So
that's fantastic.
Okay.
And that's what...
Yes, it is.
Yes, and this is the thing is that you wanted to be pregnant. You wanted all of those pregnancies. You had every right to have every kind of medical help that you can to continue those pregnancies.
Okay, listen, Joyce, we're going to have to say thank you, but thank you so much for calling us this morning. David Quinn and Goretti Horgan, thank you.